Welcome to the internet broadcast of Big Z Sports, brought to you by Dr. Burns and Dr. Springer Orthodontics. Have your smile straightened in style. 107 Ray Avenue Northeast, New Philadelphia.
Welcome into this week's edition of the WTUZ Big Z Sports Podcast. I'm Joe Geckler. He is Chris Kale. Chris, man, baseball season is here. Three games under our belt already. The Indians, the Reds, the Pirates. Man, it's been a fun week so far. Lots of stuff going on in the world of baseball.
Yeah, and the Indians actually only got two in because last night's game was postponed due to the crappy weather. Not sure they're going to get tonight's stuff in over in Chicago either, but we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, the Cleveland Indians, they start out the year with a 1-1 split with the Boston Red Sox. Last night's game again was rained out. They lost the opener Tuesday, which was a rescheduled game. That Tuesday was supposed to be an off day for them. Opening day was Monday. So obviously it got colded out, not really rained or snowed out.
Yeah, it was chilly.
Yes, it was, very much so. And I wouldn't have wanted to sit out in that. So I think it was the right call. They moved it to a Tuesday game. And again, the Indians just get no run support for Corey Kluber.
Yeah, Corey Kluber, man, he pitches his butt off, man, and he cannot get any run support. And it's been like that over the last couple of years, even the year he won his Cy Young. But, you know, the Indians, I think they'll be there. I think their offense is capable. They've got some young veterans or older veterans and, you know, some young players. I think they're going to do well. Mike Napoli, Carlos Santana, you know, Francisco Lindor, one of the up-and-coming superstars in the league. I have a feeling he's really, really good. You got a Marlon Byrd over there who, you know, has been around the league for a long time. It seems like every year he hits 15 to 20 home runs every year. He had a good year last year for the Reds, even though they traded him late in the season to pick up some prospects. But, you know, I think the Indians have, you know, some talent. Michael Brantley's not healthy yet, but when he comes back, you know, Jason Kipnis at second. If they can get some run support for Kluber, and then, you know, their other pitchers as well, you know, pitching well. Zach McAllister picked up the win in relief the first night, I believe. And then, you know, the second game, you know, their offense came alive. Mike, like you said, Mike Napoli hit a home run. Carlos Santana hit a big home run for him as well. And, you know, they're off to Chicago this weekend, probably for colder weather than they're going to see in Cleveland. But, you know, the White Sox are going to be a tough three-game series to start off the season, likewise for the Reds and Pirates.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I agree with you. I think the Indians will be there. I think they've got that nice mixture of veterans that have been with the club, veterans that came in. They got Uribe that came in now too, you know, and then the youngsters, like you said, Lindor, you know, the kid that plays left field, Ramirez. You know, they've got that little bit of mixture. Once they get some guys healthy, you know, Chisenhall's on the DL still, and the same with Brantley. Yan Gomes played well the other night. So we'll just have to wait and see what's going to happen with the Indians. But, you know, Napoli's definitely going to be huge. I mean, you know, it was tied 6-6 the other night, and he comes up and launches a deep shot in the seventh inning that gave them that 7-6 win for Zach McAllister, like you said. We'll have to wait and see. Like you said, it's going to be cold on, you know, this weekend in Chicago. And then, you know, the Reds, they start out the season 3-0. They swept the Phillies 6-2, 3-2, and 10-6. Pretty much convincing fashion for the Reds.
Well, I'll say something about the Reds. Yes, I'm very happy they're 3-0. Everybody knows I'm a Reds fan. But it's the two worst teams in baseball. The Phillies, the worst last year with 99 losses. The Reds had 98. Are they the worst teams in baseball this year? Probably. But, you know, the Reds did what they had to do, beat a team they should have. Now the next nine games for the Reds are going to be a struggle. They've got three for Pittsburgh, and then they got St. Louis, and then Chicago. And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if they were 3-9 after that.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. You know, this could be a good stretch of games where they can actually show that, hey, maybe you're going to have to throw our names in the hat in the Central too.
I mean, they did okay. You know, obviously Joey Votto's had a good series against the Phillies. Jay Bruce had a good game yesterday in the two home runs and a three run shot, five RBIs. Eugenio Suarez with a grand slam.
Bless
and stuff.
You.
Yeah, thank you. And you know, their pitching's done okay. You know, they get a rookie to make his major league debut against the Phillies on Thursday. He gets the win, gives up four runs, but you know what? Then they send him right back down to the minors. So, you know, that's this kind of luck that the Reds fans get. You get a good pitching performance, you get a young star coming up, and then they send him right back down because they don't need him again. But you know what? You know, Scott Schebler has played very, very well for the Reds the last you know, couple, three games. And, you know, Billy Hamilton struggled a little bit, and they saw, you know, Schebler got a game-winning hit. He had a big day yesterday as well. So the Reds have some talent, but they don't have the talent that Pittsburgh has. They don't have the talent that St. Louis has, or the Cubs, or any of the other top teams in the league, or even the middle-tier teams. But the Reds, you know, they're going to win some games, but not a lot.
Right, and the Pirates, you know, they, like you said, they just signed Gregory Polanco. El Coffee is his nickname. They signed him to a 5-year deal the other day. Pirates are playing well. You know, we'll just have to wait and see, you know, how healthy they stay. Can McCutchen stay healthy? Can Starling Marte stay healthy? Jordy Mercer, you know, some of the guys that they've added, you know, bullpen-wise, you know, that's another thing. They got this young kid that they brought up. I'm not even going to butcher his name because I don't even know how to say it. But he was throwing 100-mile-an-hour fastballs consistently in the seventh inning the other night. So their starting pitching is always going to be good. Francisco Laureano and Garrett Cole. You know, so we'll have to wait and see. But the Pirates are 3-0 as they swept the Cardinals, which is exactly what Buccos fans wanted to see. You know, they beat them 4-1 on Sunday, which was technically opening day, the first major league game of the year. They won 4-1, 6-5 in 11 innings on Tuesday, and then 5-1 yesterday. And the weekend series with the Reds again at Great American Ballpark starts tonight. Should be interesting. I mean, you know, that's always a series that. It's kind of like the Bengals and Steelers. They don't like each other. The Pirates are definitely going to get on there looking to you know, sweep the Reds and remain undefeated so far. The Reds are going to want to mess it up and show that they you know, can throw their name in the hat in the Central. So we'll have to wait and see. But definitely a good start by the Pirates of disposing the Cardinals the first three games of the year. I'd say that's a good power move early.
Like you mentioned, Bengals, Steelers, always rivalry. Pirates, Reds, that's a rivalry as well. In the pitching matchup tonight, Alfredo Simon, Big Pasta, taking on Francisco Liriano. So the Reds in the past have hit Liriano well, but they don't have about seven guys that used to hit him very well on the team anymore. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how Big Pasta does again back in the old ballpark where he had a great all-star season when he was back with the Reds. Back in, I believe, 2014. And, you know, Liriano, he's got a
opening day.
You're going into a bandbox, you know, and pitchers usually get roughed up going into Great American Small Park, mm-hmm. as I call it. And it'll be interesting to see tonight. I know I will be watching. I have extra innings with my TV, so I'll get the first six games of the season for the Reds. And I'm excited to watch it. So it's going to be fun.
Are you going to pay for the rest of the season?
Negative.
Just curious.
No, I will get my free week at the beginning of the season, and I get my free week right after the All-Star break, and then I'm good. Headlines are next, but first this message from Dr. Richard Burns and Dr. Nathan Springer, who are making the community smile with confidence.
Dr. Richard Burns and his partner Dr. Nathan Springer are in the business of making smiles. Specializing in braces for children and adults, Dr. Burns and Dr. Springer provide smiles that can be recognized anywhere. Just look at the winning smile on some of the players. Compliments of Dr. Burns Orthodontics. Hey, that smile of pride on the face of mom and dad might be from Dr. Burns too. Dr. Richard Burns and Dr. Nathan Springer Orthodontics, in the business of making smiles. 107 Ray Avenue Northeast in New Philadelphia.
Welcome back to the show. A quick reminder, follow Big Z Sports on Twitter at @Big_Z Sports and on Facebook, WTUZ Big Z Sports. Chris, it's now time for headlines.
It is time for headlines, and the Cleveland Cavaliers only got three games left in the regular season. Tuesday night, the 5th, they beat Milwaukee 109-80. And then turn around Wednesday the 6th and lost to Indiana 123-109 without LeBron James. Kyrie Irving with 26 points, 6 assists. K-Love with 23 points and 5 boards. Paul George led all scorers with 29 points for the Pacers. The Cavs are 56-23. They're 3.5 ahead of Toronto, 9 ahead of Atlanta, 9.5 ahead of Boston and Miami, who have all clinched playoff spots. Three games left in the season. The Bulls tomorrow night. Then Atlanta on Monday and Detroit on Wednesday to finish up the regular season. You know, they pretty much got that. If they can win one of these last games, they clinch that first spot because Toronto holds the tiebreaker.
Yeah, if Toronto loses in the last three games and Cleveland wins one of the next three games, the Cavs will clinch the division. And like you mentioned, tomorrow night at the Bulls are 39-40. Cavs are 56-23. I don't see much going on unless they rest some players, you know, against the Bulls. They've got the Bulls left. They got Atlanta, and they have Detroit left at home on Monday and Wednesday of next week. So, like you mentioned, three games left. It's been kind of a trying year for Cleveland, and, you know, they're going to be in the playoffs. They got a ticket and a seat, or a chip and a seat, like you like to say, and, you know, they're going to be there. Let's see what happens, and when the big boys come playing, let's see how they react.
I still think they're going to be tough to beat in seven games. I really do. I think they've got to stay healthy. They've got to get through these first couple rounds. You know, unlike last year where they lost everybody, they've got to stay healthy. And then, like you said, see what happens. I don't think anybody in the East beats them. I really don't. I think if they stay healthy, they walk through the Eastern Conference. And, you know, when they get to the West, you're just going to have to find out if it's going to be San Antonio or Golden State. They played last night, picked up the 112-101 win last night at home against the San Antonio Spurs. They become only the second team in NBA history to win 70 games. They're looking to still – they've got to win their last three to be able to beat the Bulls' record. They lose one, they can tie. They still got San Antonio at San Antonio. I believe that game is on Sunday. I'm telling you right now, if Pop didn't rest everybody last night, he surely is not going to rest everybody in San Antonio, because they're trying to become the first team to ever go undefeated at home throughout the season. They're going to want to beat Golden State.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I hope, you know, I grew up a Bulls fan with Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen and all them. And I remember the 72-win season very, very well. And I really hope Golden State does not break that record. I hope somebody trips them up. You know, unexpectedly last weekend they lost to the Celtics.
Unexpectedly.
Well, I never thought that would happen, but, you know, Boston's played them well this year.
Yes, Boston's played them well.
And I was happy to see it. I was actually rooting on the C's for you a little bit, just to see them put another loss in that column for the Warriors. But, you know, it's getting back to the Cavs a little bit. You know, three games left. They're going to tune up for the playoffs and see where they go from there. But like you said, I think seven games in the East is going to be tough to knock the Cavs off. But when we get to the finals, if they make it, will be a challenge regardless of who they play.
Yeah, I think there's a couple teams. I think Miami and Boston both could be tough outs. I really don't see Toronto as being a problem. Atlanta, the same thing. Maybe the Pacers. If the Pacers get in, that win last night was big for them. You know, maybe they get in. I don't know. They could be a tough out, but, you know, really, I really only see Boston and Miami as being the tough outs. And I think Boston's going to be that team that nobody wants to play in the playoffs.
Oh, I would agree. Boston's a good team. I still think they're a couple players away from making a real difference, you know, in the East, but I think they're gonna maybe you know, go a round or two. But like I said, I think they're a player or two away from going deep in the playoffs. But let's see what happens with them. And you know, last 3 days are gonna be fun in the NBA.
Absolutely. You know, and NBA will be rolling into the playoffs again next weekend. So looking at the men's NCAA tournament, which took place on Monday the 4th, Villanova won its second NCAA title. They won the title back in 1985 with a dramatic 77-74 win over North Carolina. Be honest with you, I'm not really a big fan of both teams. Very, very exciting game. North Carolina's Marcus Page hits a double clutch, off balance, crazy desperation, deep three-point shot to tie the game with 4.7 seconds left. And then it was Chris Jenkins that, you know, said, hey, it's my turn. He got a great feed from Ryan Archinold and banged in a buzzer-beating three for the title. Man, regardless of whether you like either team, pretty cool to watch that.
Yeah, I was happy Nova won. I was, you know, honestly, I didn't see a dribble of the national championship game. I was asleep before that came on. Well, I was probably in REM4 by then, but, you know, I saw the highlights, and it stinks that you got to miss a game like that. But when you do early mornings at a radio station, you got to get up early, so you can't really stay up late a lot. But, you know, Villanova winning on that last second buzzer beater, they're saying, you know, that probably one of the greatest finishes, if not the greatest finish in NCAA basketball history. And I would probably tend to agree with them. It was pretty remarkable, and hats off to Villanova. But if anybody could have won Villanova, I'm glad they did. I'm not a big Carolina fan.
I agree.
But it seems like they win all the time. Nice to see a team win that doesn't win all the time.
I agree. And how about sophomore Phil Booth come off the bench for Villanova to lead the team with 20 points? Archinold had 16, Jenkins with 14. Page led UNC and led all scorers with 21 points. Joel Berry had 20. Bryce Johnson had 14 for the Heels. Villanova's bench outscored UNC 22-6, 20 of those from Booth. Nova shot 58% from the floor, 57% from three-point range. UNC 43% from the floor and 65% from three-point range. So very even game spread out. I thought it was fun to watch. And, you know, definitely will go down in history as one of the best championship games of all time.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with that 100%. I think, you know, I might even go back and watch it when it comes on replay just to say I can say I watched it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And then on the women's side, Tuesday the 5th, there was really, you know, you go from a very exciting national championship game to a ho-hum, you know.
Well, we all knew what to expect when UConn played Syracuse. When you have Breanna Stewart, the best college women's college basketball player ever in the game, and I can say that pretty easily.
Oh, there's
Breanna
no doubt.
Stewart, yeah, there's no doubt that she's the best player ever to play women's basketball in the at the college level. And, you know, congratulations to them. That's another team that I find it hard to root for them, but they are just so daggone dominant. I mean, every year it's UConn and everybody else.
Exactly. UConn, again, they ripped Syracuse to cap off another undefeated championship title run, 82-51. They won their fourth straight title in a row, and UConn star, like you said, Breanna Stewart, who led the way with 24 points, 10 boards, and 6 assists. She became the only NCAA player, men's or women's, to win 4 national titles and 4 MVPs. That is just unbelievable. I watched an ESPN piece on her on SportsCenter prior to the game, and the girl, when she first picked up a basketball, she couldn't even hardly dribble it. She wasn't that good.
Oh yeah,
kind of grew into herself.
I watched that too, and it was
very
good.
What a great story! What a great kid!
Very good story. I mean, she was 6 foot in what was it, sixth grade or seventh grade?
Yeah.
And then she was just dominant because I mean, she didn't have the fundamental skills as she
right.
does now. But she, I mean, being 6 foot in sixth grade, I mean, you're going to tower over men.
Right. But like you said, she had to work to get the fundamentals and to pick up some of the skills that she has, you know, specifically dribbling, passing, you know, kind of the stuff that people take for granted. So, you know, it's a good lesson for kids, and she even said that on the ESPN piece. It's a good lesson for kids out there. Don't stop working. Working and work ethic will make you better, and never give up on your dreams, because this girl didn't think there was any way she would ever play college basketball, let alone do what she's done when she was in sixth and seventh grade starting out. So it's always out there.
It'll be fun to see her. Believe it or not, I don't watch many WNBA games, but I might tune one in to see her play, to see how she fares against the other professionals in the WNBA.
And listen to this stat, Joe. This is what is crazy. The Huskies now have won 75 games in a row, and UConn head coach Gina Auriemma has now won 11 national titles.
That's just crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. But in breaking news coming out of Columbus, just picked it up here on my cell phone, Thad Matta has a coaching tree, is getting a little bit bigger. Assistant coach for the men's basketball team, Jeff Bowles, is leaving the program to become the head coach at Stony Brook. And that's reported by John Rothstein of CBS Sports. So Thad Matta down about 5 players and an assistant coach now. So mass exodus in Columbus.
That's very interesting, though. Like you said, you know, everybody's kind of leaving in Columbus, and it's wondering, you know, makes you wonder, you know, Thad hasn't lost, you know, he's won 20 games in a season every year that he's been there in 16 seasons, and everybody's departing, and I don't understand it. But, you know, yeah, he's not known for winning the big games, but goodness gracious, he's getting you there.
Oh, he's getting you there, but he's becoming John Cooper. He can recruit everybody, but he can't win the big game. And on a high school note, obviously there's not a lot of games going on this week, a lot of rainouts and snowouts and all kind of stuff. But we'll have more of an update next week on our podcast, so stick close to that, and we'll update the high school side of things next week when we record again. But I know I only know one team is doing any good just because I live in that community. I know Garaway's doing really, 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 really well right now.
Yeah, they are. And the only other team that I've really been paying much attention to is Dover, of course, because my kid plays for them, and they're 3-3, and they were up. They were actually, it ended up being 7-7 with Cambridge down at Cambridge when they suspended the game. And Brittany was 2-for-2 with a double and an RBI, and she was next up to the plate. So we'll wait and see when that resumes. They play Fairless tonight, weather permitting. We'll have to wait and see. But the final note of The final headline.
Come on.
The final headline for this week is NASCAR's at Texas Saturday night on Fox. A nice under-the-lights race at a tricky Texas racetrack. Kyle Busch won his first race ever at Martinsville Speedway Sunday the 3rd. A.J. Allmendinger was second. Kyle Larson third. Austin Dillon fourth. Brad Keselowski fifth. So NASCAR on Saturday night.
So Danica Patrick still has not won a race.
No, Danica actually ran in the top five. She was actually running eighth on the final restart with 10 to go. And if you're on the outside lane at Martinsville, you're going to get freight trained. And she dropped all the way back to 16th. Matt Kenseth started on the outside of the front row beside Kyle Busch, and he ended up finishing like 13th. So it's just when you're on the outside of Martinsville, you're kind of sitting duck unless somebody lets you down. 10 laps to go, nobody's going to let you down. So she actually had a top 10 finish going, and then, you know, kind of got squandered away, but she finished 16th. So not a bad run for her.
Chris, good to see you, man.
Hey, good to see you, as always. I'll see you next week.
Yep. With that, this week's edition of the WTUZ Big Z Sports Podcast will come to a close. For Chris Kao, I'm Joe Geckler saying thank you for listening, and thank you to Dr. Richard Burns and Dr. Nathan Springer, Orthodontics.
This has been the Internet Broadcast from Big Z Sports, brought to you by Dr. Burns and Dr. Springer, 107 Ray Avenue Northeast, New Philadelphia.